Morning, ladies and gentlemen. First case is Zemezhnik versus Indian Prairie School District. Mr. Khanna.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Thomas J. Khanna. I represent Indian Prairie School District 204. This is an appeal from an award of summary judgment. The district court has gone from agreeing in 2007 that the school district acted lawfully in this case to interpreting this court's decision of April 23, 2008 as a mandate for summary judgment. As a result, the district court has not only prevented the possibility of developing a complete record in this case, which is what I believe this court anticipated in 2008, but has completely disregarded the additional evidence that has already been developed through discovery.
Mr. Khanna, I want to ask you something.
Yes, sure.
Given how broad the injunction was, could young Nuxel have worn his shirt or a button with the same message to graduation? I mean, I understand there was a dress code for graduation. I remember mine very well. But the injunction would have, you know, overridden the dress code, right?
Well, there's a couple problems with that. One, nobody knows what the intention was of the plaintiff to do that. This case had always been about the issue of what we had called the day of silence and the response on the day of truth. Now, of course, by May 20th, that had already passed for 2010. There was nothing in the record to suggest he intended to do anything after May 20th or what that might have been. More importantly, Your Honor, with respect to the graduation itself, that graduation was not, in fact, covered by the court's order. The court's order covered activities only on school grounds. The graduation ceremony itself here took place at the College of DuPage, wouldn't have been covered by the order in any event. These are the problems with a case that's decided in a vacuum like this one was. Nobody knows what the intent of the party was or what the protectable right was that the court was trying to defend. I hope that answered your question, Your Honor. But at the time this court entered its order in 2008, the court said the scanty record compiled thus far in the litigation was too thin a reed on which to hang a prohibition of students' free speech, noting that the fuller record that will be compiled in the further proceedings in this case may cast the issue in a different light. But there's never been a hearing of any type in this case, which involves issues of constitutional importance, has been pending in the district court for almost 4 years now.
Tell me this. What would have happened at the school if Heidi had expressed that the Gay Straight Alliance shirt was upsetting to her, that it offended her religious beliefs? It seems that some of the allowed shirts violated the school policy. For example, would the shirt Day of Silence, Night of Noise not violate the school's policy against sexual messages on garments? Were those students asked to alter their shirts? Here's what I'm getting at. I'm concerned that the policy was applied selectively to a particular viewpoint.
Judge, the particular shirt that was worn in 2006 by the GSA shirt was a fairly innocuous shirt. Wasn't offensive in any way. The issue whether shirts were issued that said Day of Silence, Night of Noise, is a disputed issue in this case. Plaintiff's brother...
What you describe as non-offensive, what did they say?
The original shirts? The original shirt on the front said NVHS, the initials for the high school, crisscrossed with GSA, Gay Straight Alliance. That's all the front said. On the back it said, Be Who You Are. I believe it said, Be Who You Are. Yeah, I don't think that was particularly offensive, Your Honor. The issue that Judge Robner is referring to, though, I believe addressed this night of noise question. Mm-hmm. The testimony so far developed in discovery by the school officials indicated there was no evidence that that ever took place, although Heidi's brother did testify he thought he saw one. Heidi never said she saw one. That's the best I understand.
You know, speaking of Heidi, which we were, what action did the school take against the students who created the Be Happy Not Heidi Facebook page? Was that not covered by the policy because, you know, it did not appear on a garment?
Judge, I don't think that was ever fully developed in the record, and I can't say with certainty, but I do not believe there was any action taken against those students. That occurred, I believe, outside the understanding of the school officials. It was developed through Heidi's deposition that came out. I don't know if school officials were aware of that at the time. This school district has never had an opportunity to present any live testimony about their educational program.
Yeah, you never had any testimony.
No, we didn't, Judge.
You've got the thinnest expert report I've ever seen.
Well, Judge, I wouldn't permit it if I were a trial judge.
It's just nothing.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. I think Mr.
Look at
Russell...
It's a page.
No, it's more
the rest of his report is his CV.
Oh, I don't believe that's the case, Your Honor.
No, it is the case.
He's got specific opinions.
He's got a page and a half. He's got two pages. All right. He's
definitely addressed issues, Your Honor.
Anyone can express an opinion.
Well, Judge, I think this case should have been about hearing Mr. Dr. Russell.
Look,
isn't that what the point
what
of the
is the
hearing
big deal about the T-shirt, huh?
Well, Judge, for you and I to say it's not a big deal is easy, but we're talking, as Your Honor recognized in his opinion in 2008,
well,
that
all
these
you're
are,
trying
these are
to
high
do, you're just
students.
Extinguishing the ability of anyone to raise issues about homosexuality. That's all you're doing.
But, Judge, shouldn't we have had a hearing about
no.
that?
No. What
we
would you say at the hearing? What would you say at the hearing?
I think the first thing we'd say at the hearing is we'd ask the school officials to describe what their policy was here and
we
why they did
that. We know
what
their policy is. It's all written down. They have a written policy.
No, Judge, they have a fundamental position regarding tolerance and civility in
it's
the school
all,
district.
It's all in their statement, right? Their official policy.
That takes the place of live testimony by any means, Your Honor. These cases aren't...
Why doesn't this violate the Terman Yellow case, the principle of the heckler's veto?
Why doesn't it violate that? Judge, in this particular case, we have particular student-to-student conduct.
You had that in Terman Yellow, right? Look, a person says something that's unpopular, and the audience gets excited and starts doing bad things. And the Supreme Court said, well, yeah, but you can't permit speech to be stifled because the speaker's views are unpopular and they provoke violence. Well, there's no violence here, but the T-shirt gets the kids angry and they post angry things on Facebook, right? But that's if you allow that, which is your only basis for wanting to forbid the slogan, then you're allowing the hecklers to stifle the speech.
Well, don't you think, Mr. Khanna, forgive me, that had the court considered the evidence here that was presented by your expert, there would have been a genuine issue of material fact for trial, and that would be whether the school could have reasonably forecast substantial disruption. It seems to me that your view probably is that the court seemed to assume that the defendants had to essentially prove substantial disruption to survive summary judgment. But even Judge Posner's majority opinion gave the school more room than that, finding that it was enough if the school could present facts which might reasonably lead school officials to forecast substantial disruption. And that's what your answer should be to Judge Posner.
That's my point, Your Honor. We needed to have that opportunity, which was never given in this case. And more directly to Your Honor's point, Judge Posner, what you're saying is contrary to not only what the school district maintains in this case, but what the legislature in this state has said, what the legislature in at least 33 other states.
I'm talking about the Constitution.
Well, I'm talking about the bullying prohibition.
Well, distinguish the Terman Yellow case, then.
Well, I believe the issue here, judges, are we running into a different issue here where we have student-student conduct that's tantamount to bullying that's being recognized as a problem not only in Illinois, but
where
even in 2008.
Bullying?
Where is the bullying?
You think the T-shirt is a form of bullying?
Well, I think if you read the statute, there's a serious question about that.
Forget the statute. What we're talking about this, you know, be happy, not gay slogan. Now, you equate that to bullying?
Wouldn't it be easier if I could answer that question, Judge, with a full record?
No, just answer my question.
I do. I certainly do, yes.
That's bullying. What form of criticism of homosexuality wouldn't be bullying? Or isn't one permitted to?
What form of criticism would not be bullying? I'm not sure.
As a substitute for.
I'm not sure where to draw that line, Judge. I don't think we should be drawing that line. School officials ought to be addressing that.
Wait a second. You give me an example of a criticism or comment, opposition to homosexuality that would not constitute bullying.
I wouldn't give you one, Judge, because I don't have one.
But that means that none of these kids are permitted to say anything negative about homosexuality?
To the effect that
answer my question. Yes or no?
If it's directed
answer
at another
my
student,
question,
they
yes
are not
or
if it's
no.
directed at another student.
Would you please answer my question, yes or no?
The answer is no, they would not be, if it's directed at another student. That's bullying under the statute in Illinois.
Stop qualifying. Suppose all the T-shirt says is, I disapprove of homosexuality. Is that permissible or impermissible bullying?
I think that would probably not be impermissible, Your Honor. But again,
and what's
we're
the
trying
difference
to get
between,
at the core issue.
Listen to me, would you? What's the difference between that and be happy, not gay?
As I mentioned a moment ago, Judge, it's not student.
Why don't you
to student.
Answer my question? What's the difference between saying I don't approve of homosexuality and be happy, not gay?
It doesn't fall within the definition of an attack by a student upon another student.
Why does be happy, not gay constitute an attack on another student?
Again, the record has now been developed about what exactly Heidi meant when she did that.
It doesn't matter what she meant. It's what would be understood by. That's what bullying is.
I think they're two parts of the same coin, Your Honor.
I know.
Heidi meant it to be abrasive and biting, not benign, and it was interpreted that way.
The question is not what she intended. The question is what would have reasonable average student or student at this school understand to be the difference between the slogan be happy not gay and the slogan I disapprove of homosexuality.
With respect to the first statement, Your Honor, we have the reaction of other students in the record. We have a student that came into Dean Wells after he had spoken to Heidi and her mother and was extremely upset.
Well, suppose the reaction to my hypothetical statement I disapprove of homosexuality was identical. Homosexual students and their pals were offended and posted the same Facebook comments.
I don't find that to be a legitimate comparison, but if it were the same.
You're so evasive. I'm asking you, look, you answer my questions. I'm giving you a very concrete. Don't interrupt me by shaking your head. Would you please?
I'm done my time.
Would you just look, I'm not going to cut off your time. You can have all the time in the world. Suppose that you have this slogan, I disapprove of homosexuality, and and the person saying it is, in fact, violently opposed to homosexuals, but nevertheless, all he or she says, or just puts on the T-shirt, is, I disapprove of homosexuality. But the students react identically as they did to be happy, not gay. Would that I disapprove of homosexuality slogan, would that violate?
Of course not, Judge. No.
Of course not? But then would you explain why that's different from be happy, not gay?
Yeah, Judge. If the reaction is not a reasonable reaction to this conduct statement.
Why would a reaction to I disapprove homosexuality that was identical to the reaction of to be happy, not gay, why would that be unreasonable?
Because a reasonable person would say I disapprove of homosexuality is not an attack on homosexuals per se. Be happy, not gay. We believe it's a totally different situation.
I don't understand that. I just do not understand that difference. I disapprove of homosexuality is stating outright, you know, I don't like your sexual orientation, which bothers people. People don't like that kind of accusation. Why is it any worse than be happy, not gay?
I think, again, Judge, Dr. Russell's report, which addressed that particular question Your Honor's raising.
And he didn't talk about a hypothetical alternative criticism of homosexuality, which would not be provocative.
He talked about why be happy, not gay was a biting, attacking comment. Heidi testified what she intended it to be. Students testified about how they interpreted it.
Past intent.
Mr. Khanna, how about the fact that when you say, I disapprove of homosexuality, you are giving your opinion.
That's right.
How about the fact that when you say, be happy, not gay, you are speaking to the world at large. You are saying to the world at large, you cannot be happy if you are gay.
Yeah, I think there's a distinction in the two comments, and Your Honor's pointing it out. Here, the comment wasn't directed to the world at large, of course. It was directed to other students at Neuqua Valley High School.
But I
think the point you're raising is exactly what I'm trying to say, that there are two very different connotations here in the hypothetical Your Honor, Judge Posner gave me. And I think in the one case, it's a reasonable comment that is not intended to be an attack on student to student and wouldn't reasonably interpret it that way, whereas the second comment, as Dr. Russell would testify had he been given an opportunity to do that, and as school officials would have proven had they been given a hearing in this case, is an entirely different matter. And that would have been the point we would have raised.
It wouldn't have been a problem then if somebody had come and wore a T-shirt that says, I disapprove of homosexuality.
Although it didn't occur that way, Judge, I don't think it would have arisen to the issue we're before today. I don't think it would have been a direct attack. The word homosexuality in itself isn't a dirty word. That's not the point we're trying to make here. I
what
understand.
If you said, I disapprove of homosexuality and so should you?
It could have been a different problem there, Judge, if it was directed to show that this, the opinions
you
of
never,
other students
you never
were invalid.
Want to answer a question straight.
They're hypothetical.
Well,
I'm trying to give you the best answer I can.
No, you're not. You're trying to evade my question.
I don't mean to evade it. I don't mean
yes,
to.
You do.
No, he doesn't.
Suppose it says, I disapprove of homosexuality and so should you. Is that permissible?
I think school officials would have had a problem with it, Judge. I honestly do.
What's the difference between that and I disapprove of homosexuality?
Because, Judge, I think we have to, and again, this has never been allowed to be developed, but I think we need to look at what's in the mind of these school officials. We're dealing with a school of 4,000 children here.
Looking in the mind of school officials, we're looking in the mind of kids. Well, is this really a feasible judicial undertaking?
Well, Judge, it's the lot we've been given here. These are children we're dealing with. They're not adults. This isn't political speech in an adult context. We're dealing with students here. We're dealing with conduct different than we saw in Tinker and Frazier and Kuhlmeier and Morse.
But
we're not. We're dealing with student-to-student
anything
student
that offends students. Anything that offends students, the school can ban. Is that consistent with the Tinker case?
Well, I think it may be consistent with the rights of others branch of the Tinker case, and it certainly was the way the court ruled in the Ninth Circuit in Harper versus Poway in a GSA case. I think they would have said it had that same type of an approach, Judge. But here, I think we would try to look at the tolerance and civility
that really
the district
really extinguishes free speech in a school. That doesn't bother me terribly, but... Because all a student has to do to block a message he doesn't like is get all upset about it and excited and post something on Facebook.
I don't think the district's ever taken that position.
Well, what's to prevent him? Suppose you have some violent statement on Facebook that I disapprove of homosexuality is a direct attack on my sexual orientation. I am deeply offended. I'm horrified. So... Can the school then ban the slogan on the basis of that?
No, I don't think, Judge, anybody's ever said that here, that an unreasonable response to a legitimate message should be barred. Nobody's ever said that.
What's reasonable and unreasonable for these kids?
I just want to leave it with the one thought.
Reasonable kid?
I want to leave with the court with one thought, that we're focusing on the underlying issue in the case, What's before the court today is, should summary judgment have been issued to prevent the school district from ever developing a record upon which we can all talk about these things? That's what the school district believes should have happened here. Let us present our expert. Let us have school officials testify. Let's get to the bottom of what happened here and then decide if there was enough.
Get to the bottom of what happened. What does that mean?
Develop a full record, Judge. That's all
what
we're asking.
What happened? We know what happened. Don't we know what happened?
I don't know that we do, Judge.
Well, what do you think happened that we don't know about yet?
I think we haven't begun to hear of what the full educational mission of this school district was, what the particular nature of the conduct was here. When we reviewed this in 2008, Judge, no discovery had been taken yet. We hadn't even heard whether Heidi thought this to be a joke or a pun, which she later testified in deposition. She didn't at all. She intended this to do exactly what it did.
Look, look. We have evidence that one gay student was pushed down the stairs, that another gay student was threatened with sexual assault. And we need to know what the state of mind of those school administrators were who had to decide whether to allow the shirt with that kind of evidence.
Well, that was even before the shirt was worn, of course, Your Honor. And then the question then goes on to say what was the response to the shirt that day and thereafter. These are all things that develop a record of substantial disruption, or at least the foreseeability of substantial disruption. And that's all we're saying. That let us develop our record. Perhaps at the end of the day, it won't measure up to the constitutional standard we have to meet. But, Judge, we're just trying to get that day in court.
And
okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. We'll give you more time. You'll have time to rebut Mr. Scruggs. Mr. Scruggs?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Jonathan Scruggs, and I represent appellees Alex Nuxall and Heidi Zamenik. Your Honor, at the preliminary injunction stage, this Court noted that the message, "Be happy, not gay," was, quote, only tepidly negative, and thus there was a...
part of this Court did.
yes, Your Honor. But the Court
there,
still...
When there was a dissent.
There was a concurrence.
Well, a concurrence. Forgive me. It should have been a dissent.
But the concurrence argued that the majority was too tepid in the defense of the free speech rights of these kids.
That's right. And she still believes that.
So you should be coming to Mr. Scruggs' defense.
Hardly.
I ideally hope
he
so, Your Honor.
He looks pretty strong up here.
Well, either way, the Court also noted that it was highly speculative that allowing this message would have even a slight tendency to provoke a disruption. Absolutely nothing has materially changed since that decision except for this one fact, that Alex Nuxall wore a T-shirt with that message to Nequa Valley in 2008, and nothing happened. No disturbance, no fights, no disruption, absolutely nothing. Now, Your Honor, appellants come to this Court and ask to suppress this message to justify their past suppression by characterizing this message as bullying.
Yeah, but, you know, the evidence that you characterized as hearsay that I noted earlier, that one gay student was pushed down the stairs, another gay student threatened with sexual assault, you know, that evidence was offered to demonstrate the state of mind of the school administrators who had to decide whether to allow the shirt.
Well, a couple of points, Your Honor. That evidence was before the Court at the PI stage, and this Court still said that wasn't sufficient because it's not related to anything. It's very similar to the Sipnewski case from the Third Circuit when they ruled that the school officials couldn't ban the phrase redneck because of past discrimination involving the Confederate flag. There's just not a tie-in there, Your Honor.
There's not a what?
There's not a tie-in between the message, "Be happy, not gay," the message this Court characterized as tepid, and harassment that now we know that it's not even sure that happened. It's just mere accusation. It's coming by fourth-hand knowledge. There was investigations that proved nothing. No one was punished for these supposed accusations. So if anything, the record is actually even more in our favor at this stage than at the prior stage.
Well, the court, you know, the court below, of course, rejected the expert's opinion because It said that none of the studies that the expert relied on addressed the specific words, be happy, not gay. And I don't think I've seen a more ridiculous reason to reject an expert's report, because the whole point of having an expert is to have someone use their extensive expertise in an area to aid the fact-finding or the fact-finder in analyzing new information. So, I mean, if there's already information that addresses a specific point at issue, you don't need an expert. And, you know, at most, that kind of concern should go to the weight of an expert's opinion rather than its admissibility.
Well, Your Honor, a couple points. I think the expert opinion is so sparse, it's almost hard to get a sense of the methodology that's used about how you start with the principle harassment is bad and you end up with we need to suppress the message be happy, not gay. It's just not clear how you move through that methodology. It's unclear to me. I think it was unclear to the district court for that reason, and it was rightfully rejected. But I think the key point here, Your Honor, is really this case is no different than Tinker. Absolutely not. In the sense that in Tinker, students made, quote, hurtful comments to the students wearing armbands, that there was discussion in the outside the classroom, that they were poked fun at. And that's all we have here. Essentially, all we have is what I would refer to as a hurt feelings defense. As long as a student gets their feelings hurt. A hurt feelings defense, yes, Your Honor.
I see.
That is all the opposing side is pointing to, that a student is offended or upset, and that is sufficient to silence a message. But, of course, that's not what Tinker held.
How would we do with be white, not black, in your view?
Your Honor, I think that's totally dependent, and if you look at the cases involving the Confederate flag, about the history at the school. I mean, you could have a situation where there's, I think, for example.
Forget the Confederate flag. Be white, not black.
Again, Your Honor, I think it depends on the history at that school. If you have a history of violence, racial violence.
How about be Catholic, not Jewish? How does that fit? How does that hit you?
Again, Your Honor, I think under Tinker that you have to look at what happened in the past at that school. Is there reason to believe that would cause a problem?
Is there a reason that would cause a problem?
A substantial disruption.
Have you ever heard of bigotry?
Yes, Your Honor.
Uh-huh.
Again, thankfully the test is under Tinker is not bigotry or not bigotry. It's substantial disruption. And that's the test we're given.
And you don't think that substantial disruption would be in the forefront with this kind of bigotry? Do you not view hatred of homosexual as bigotry?
Your Honor.
Yes or no? I'm going to do a Judge Posner now. I've been given leave.
I believe that it could be considered
yes
bigotry.
Yes or no?
Yes, Your Honor. I think it could be considered bigotry. I think if I understand that phrase. But again, as Tinker says, the test is substantial disruption. And I think that would be heavily dependent on what happened in the past at the school, events that have gone on in the past. That's why I was reminiscing about the situation of a Confederate flag. Some courts have upheld that. Some courts have said that you can reasonably silence that message in light of the past incidents at the school. And here, the best evidence of what would happen with the message expressed, be happy, not gay, is what actually happened when Alex Nuxall expressed that message, and nothing happened.
Can you help me with something? On page 55 of your response brief, in the first appeal, I assume that the second line contains a Freudian slip, because you meant to say that Heidi's shirt read Straight Alliance, not Gay Alliance. Am I right?
That's right, Your Honor. I apologize for that. Her shirt on 2006, the front said, the back said, be happy, not gay. The front said, My Day of Silence, Straight Alliance. And that's also something important to note out, that this message that Heidi expressed didn't just come out of the blue. That the day before, over 200 students, as well as teachers, administrators, teachers' assistants, and secretaries, all wore messages in support of the Day of Silence. And our client just simply wanted to express a contrary viewpoint. And, of course, it's also in the record that our client was offended by the message expressed on the Day of Silence, that she was upset by it. Yet there was no suppression of that message. So, and that goes to the point, I think, also about the workability of, again, what I refer to as the hurt feelings defense, Your Honor. If everything turns on whether students are upset by a message, then the administration just picks and chooses. I think now Justice Alito said it best, writing for the Third Circuit in Sachs, when he said that if administrators are allowed to suppress speech based on the objection of students, absent any other further justification, the administrators will have the ability to suppress any message.
Now, I want to ask you something. Neither plaintiff asked for a permanent injunction applying to all students, did they? No plaintiff asked for a permanent injunction in this case.
No, Your Honor, that's, I believe, incorrect. In our second amended complaint, we clearly asked for a permanent injunction in the prayer for relief. We also asked for any other relief that would be deemed equitable and just. What's even more important, Your Honor, as, of course, under the Federal Rule of Procedure 54C, final judgment should award the relief that the party is entitled to, even if not requested in their pleadings.
See, maybe you can help me with this. To me, it's not clear whether the permanent injunction ever had any effect, because it's unclear, it seems, if Alex had opportunities after the injunction was entered to wear the slogan on school property.
Yes, Your Honor, let me address that in a few ways.
I appreciate it.
First of all that's in the record that we received the injunction on May 20th. Appellant cites that the injunction was distributed at 4:01. That's not in the record, Your Honor. It's actually somewhat unclear when it's distributed. So if we received that injunction on May 20th, there was a graduation practice occurring between the hours of 9 and noon. Well, actually, we don't know that. That's just when it's scheduled to happen. There's nothing in the record confirming when it did happen. Of course, the other side argues that you should take judicial notice of this. We disagree. But moving beyond that fact, he could speak at that graduation practice. Then we have the next few days, May 21st. There was 51 events occurring at Neuqua Valley. School was still in place, so Alex could go visit another classmate. He could go participate in a club.
But was he still a student?
Yes, Your Honor, and this goes to the point of he was still a student because graduation hadn't occurred. Appellants argued that they couldn't prevent him from receiving a diploma.
Okay. But, so even if he had finished every single course, he would still be viewed as a student. And graduation is, coming a few hours later.
Yes, Your Honor, and I'll give you an example. Let's say someone goes to graduation drunk. Can they not prevent that? Can they not punish that? Yes, at the very least, they could prevent him from going through with the ceremony. And so the school could clearly punish Alex during that interim period for expressing his message.
I'm smiling to myself when you say if he went drunk, because when I graduated from high school, one of the young women in my class was prevented from attending graduation because she wore a sleeveless dress. Times have changed, Mr. Scruggs.
They are. Times are changing, Your Honor. But thankfully, I think in some sense we have some times are staying the same with respect to First Amendment law since Tinker. And that's the point here. I do want to emphasize that there was opportunities to speak throughout this period, and thus the injunction was very much needed for that period.
And you don't find the injunction overbroad?
No, Your Honor. For the reasons we cite in our brief, we note that the case out of the Ninth Circuit, Clement versus California Department of Corrections.
Same injunction we upheld, isn't it?
It's very similar, Your Honor. I think it's technically a bit different. I think the logic in the plenary injunction opinion essentially mandates the new injunction. But the language between the injunction that was entered by the district court in 2008 and the language that was entered in 2010 is slightly different. But that, I think, goes to the point of the logic is the same.
And once again, you are maintaining that you ask for a permanent injunction that would apply to all students.
Yes, Your Honor.
Not just limited to Alex and Heidi. That's what you're saying.
Well, Your Honor.
Because I'm going back to read that record again.
Yeah, Your Honor, I want to emphasize this point.
You better clarify or emphasize or whatever you're doing.
In our second amended complaint, we clearly asked for a permanent injunction. I think the phraseology is such that it would prevent the suppression of the First Amendment.
Did you ask for a permanent injunction that shall apply to all students?
Your Honor, I think we clearly did actually, after you get the sequencing down, we won on summary judgment, and the court asked for the parties.
Again, you please forgive me, but I like the way Judge Posner does this. Is that a yes or no? Is that a yes or no?
It's a yes, Your Honor. And may I pinpoint the time when we asked for it? Thank you. At the summary judgment, we won on summary judgment, and the court asked both parties to submit language. And we submit language to the court specifically saying that. Saying that we would like the injunction to apply essentially to all students to what was entered.
To essentially all students, did you say?
Sorry, Your Honor, to all students. That the court accepted our language, and that's what the court entered as the permanent injunction. But what's even more important, in some sense, it doesn't matter what we requested in the complaint or not. Because, like I note...
Well, of course it does.
Well, Your Honor, in some sense, I disagree because of this. Under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 54C, final judgment should give us what we ask for, even if not requested in the pleadings. So what's relevant is that we argue for it at the summary judgment stage, which we did, and then we specifically requested that after summary judgment when the judge asked for our language.
So why didn't you amend your complaint?
But Your Honor, we felt no need because of that purpose. And I'll give you an example from this court, Solstice v. Costello, which is a 2008 case. This court noted that a party didn't have to request punitive damages as long as the other party was on notice. And here it was clearly the case because we argued for it not only at the summary judgment, but also earlier in the case. I see my time is up. Unless this court has any more questions,
I will
sit down.
Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So Mr. Canna, you have something further you'd like to say before?
One brief moment. I know my time was used up. I just want to address this last issue we're talking about with respect to the injunction, the scope and the timing of the injunction. First, I want to make clear that this is not the order that was entered in 2008. The order in 2008 was very specific. It dealt with an injunction for a specific party, Plaintiff Nuxall, to wear a specific shirt bearing the message, "Be happy, not gay," on a specific day. That's the way the district court issued its order following the appeal. It had nothing, it was nothing at all like the broad injunction that we saw in May of 2010. More importantly,
broad, because it applies to any day, not just the day of silence or day of truth.
I think it applies to any student, any day, any time.
Any year.
At any school in the district. It's quite a bit broader, I believe, Your Honor, in all honesty. But more importantly, we're all trying to figure out what was the purpose of this injunction. What was it going to do for this party in May of 2010? We can split hairs about whether the court entered it before noon.
Wasn't going to do much, that's for sure.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't going to do much.
It really wasn't, Your Honor. But the fact of the matter is the record doesn't even show why this injunction was issued, what it was supposed to do, and how it benefited anybody.
Pick up on a point. Mr. Scruggs made, I thought, a good point about the expert report, which is that you get no sense from the expert report of a methodology that would show why this particular slogan is a bad slogan. For example, there's nothing in the expert's report about other slogans, right? He could say, well, I've studied, you know, this and that and the other anti-homosexual statement in school grounds, and this was bad, and this was bad, and this was bad, and this is similar, something like that. I'm especially surprised that he didn't say anything with regard to Judge Rovner's concurrence, right? He knew about our opinion, didn't he, our previous opinion?
I assume he did, yes, yeah.
Did? Was he asked to look at our opinion?
Sure, he reviewed the opinion,
okay.
Your Honor.
So here's what Judge Rovner said with regard to "Be Happy, Not Gay." It is not the kind of speech that would materially and substantially interfere with school activities. I suspect that similar uses of the word gay abound in the halls of Nuquah Valley High School and virtually every other high school in the United States without causing any substantial interruption in the educational process. And she goes on in that vein for quite some time.
But she's changed her mind.
And she says at the end, her last sentence, Nuxol's slogan-adorned T-shirt comes nowhere near that standard, well, the standard that would permit expression. Now, my question for you is, wouldn't you expect the expert to say, well, you know, Judge Rovner thinks that this be happy, not gay is completely innocuous, but she's wrong because I've studied other slogans in other schools that are like this. And even though it looks innocuous to Judge Rovner, in fact, if you're an expert on schools the way I am, you realize this is explosive stuff. Now, that would have made for a focused expert report, which would be admissible under Daubert and Rule 702. But all you have in his report is complete generalities. He gives no example of a statement in a school about homosexuality that he regards as disruptive.
Judge, can I address a few of the points you're raising? I read Judge Rovner's concurring opinion the other day. I think the discussion of the particular speech at issue here was much more determinative that it was offensive than perhaps...
Do you think I misquoted her?
I don't say you misquoted. Yeah, you certainly read from it, Your Honor. But I think there was a lot more in that opinion that took issue with the issue of with the question of whether it was tepidly negative. But more importantly, I think Dr. Russell's opinion, and we cited in the facts of the brief we filed, some of the points he raised in there. He's talking about how students are affected by this type of speech. He's talking about the particular speech used here, be happy, not gay, whether it's a pun or whether it's offensive
speech.
But
for a reader of his report to be able to evaluate his conclusion rather than just taking on in faith, he'd have to be given more insight into how the expert compares the particular statement in this case with statements in other schools that he's studied on which he's based his conclusions.
There was never an opportunity to do that, Your Honor.
This is his report. His report is supposed to tell what methodology he's used.
There was never a hearing to determine whether he was a valid expert in this case or whether his report was sufficient enough. That never took place.
That report is not sufficient.
I'm sorry?
That report is not sufficient.
Well, the court determined it wasn't because of the particular reason Judge Rovner gave.
That report is not sufficient for the reason I've given.
The reason the court gave was that it didn't specifically
address... That was a bad reason. I'm giving you a better reason, which you haven't answered. How can we tell anything about his reasoning process when he provided no example of a real-life statement about homosexuality which he regards as disruptive or which a court found was disruptive, and then he compared that to be happy, not gay?
I think that would be one approach an expert could take. I don't believe it's the only approach an expert would have to take. I think he could do exactly what he did, Your Honor. He could address the speech that was given here, the particular case here. He could talk about the effect of this kind of behavior in public schools. He could talk about the effect on adolescents.
Behavior.
I'm sorry?
What kind of behavior?
This be happy, not gay comment.
This has never been used in another school.
But he's talking about comments between students.
Yes, but why doesn't he give us an example of a comment that has been made in another school?
He dealt with the example he had, Judge. He had the specific language that was
never
used.
Has he ever encountered another such statement?
He never got to testify. We don't know what his entire background would have been. We don't know.
You never talked to him.
I've talked to him.
Could I just, so the record is complete, read a little bit more of my concurrence? I'd like to read all of it to you. I think what you did was brilliant, actually, trying to hang me on my own petard. All right. Nonetheless, the statement is clearly intended to derogate homosexuals. Teenagers today often use the word gay as a generic term of disparagement. They might say that sweater is so gay as a way of insulting the look of the garment. In this way, Nuxall's statement is really a double play on words, because gay formerly meant happy in common usage, and now gay, in addition to meaning homosexual, is also often used as a general insult. Nuxall's statement easily fits the school's definition of disparaging and would meet that standard for most listeners. Moreover, the idea that not gay is a synonym for straight fails to recognize the many nuances of sexual orientation that have been apparent since 1948, when Alfred Kinsey first set forth his 0 to 6 Kinsey scale. There's a lot more. And, of course, I was comparing this case to a case like Nabosny, where Nabosny, who was subjected to a mock rape in a classroom while a few dozen people looked on and laughed, and was forced to face such severe and constant abuse that he twice attempted suicide. Okay.
That's what I was referring to, Judge. There was some broader language there. Judge, I'd like to conclude by just bringing it all back around and referring to the fact that what we're really talking about here is the standards for summary judgment. That's what the court has to ultimately focus on here. Was summary judgment appropriate here, or was it an abuse of discretion? And of course, that's a de novo review.
To bring it back to actually, what specifically, what type of evidence would you introduce?
With respect to the summary judgment, well, first of all, the issue would have been whether there are several issues of fact, and I think we'd have to address those, Your Honor. And those would, of course, be whether there was actual disruption, and we pointed out.
You had 4,500 students at that school?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, about 4,200, I think, was in the record. Yeah.
And your purpose would be to show what?
To show disruption.
A single teacher would have disrupted the...
That what it affected, in fact, did have, whether there was a reasonably foreseeable fear of disruption by the school officials, because I believe that's the standard we ended up with in the first order, Your Honor. And then the peripheral issues that stem from that, whether this constituted some type of bullying behavior, whether it was tantamount to that under the statutes.
Well, bullying wasn't quite at the forefront back then.
No, it has become a much more popular and important issue, developed issue since 2008. Certainly the Illinois legislature has focused on it more. They've amended our statute.
But bullying wasn't a part of the... In fact, that wasn't even mentioned in the original argument to us.
I think it was mentioned in our brief. We did cite the bullying statute and our policy on bullying, Your Honor. But certainly that issue has come to the forefront since then. And unfortunately, these cases are going to have to be developed to determine where that line is drawn between bullying and protected speech. And I think this is a good example of that. And all we want to do is prepare a record and develop a record so that can be analyzed. And that's all I have.
Okay, well, thank you very much,
you.
Mr. Khanna and Mr. Scruggs. And we'll move on to...